Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyar, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Today we will continue with our debate from yesterday against this atheist named Reginald Finley. He was on ABC sometime back as an atheist, and they reran the program he was on about 10 times or so. He's a well-known atheist at infidelguy.com. And the conversation today goes to subjects about morality, like, for example, that you could see morality and a conscience even in wicked people in the way that they defend their own property, their own lives, their own wives, and so on. And also about homosexuality, Reggie was trying to defend homosexuality, saying that, well, animals do it. And I pointed out pretty easily that animals eat their young. Animals do some really despicable things. So, Reggie, you don't want to defend something by saying animals do it unless you're trying to say homosexuals are like pigs and dogs. You don't want to go there, Reggie. And sure enough, he didn't want to go there. So let's rejoin in progress my debate discussion with atheist Reginald Finley.
People think that God, in some way, however he does it, is it in some way has a deterministic pattern to everything.
Right, and so that they feel
it's
better.
Fluid. They don't want it to be fluid. They want it to be set in stone.
Yeah, dynamic.
Right.
And so they feel better when a child at a church gets killed by a drunk driver.
They can say God did it.
Yeah, God did it. Now, we view that as blasphemous. And not that God does not have the authority to bring people to the next life.
Yeah, I was going to say, wait a minute, huh? Okay.
God created us, and because we sinned, we fell, death came in, then he's created us that we will live life in two stages, on this life and the next.
Right.
And for us, this life is like all there is. Mm. For God, he realizes better than we do that this life is the first moment. So it's like God makes us, and we're on the porch, and then he brings us into the house. But the house is either with him or without him, whatever each person desires.
Right.
And so God has the authority to make us on the porch and then bring us into the house. But he hasn't delegated that authority to human beings to where I could just dispatch people to the afterlife at my own whim. We call that murder. But God could bring people. Before Noah's flood, the Bible says the earth was filled with wickedness and violence. So God decided to take the whole human race, except for a few, into the afterlife. Anyone who was innocent, then they would go into the house with him. And those who were hating one another, hating their children, sacrificing their children, he would bring them to the afterlife, and they could live without him.
Now, was that biblically supported, what you just said there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Really? Because God judges by the heart, not by outward appearance.
Oh, boy.
Go ahead.
I'm just thinking right away then, what do you think about homosexuality?
Homosexuality leads to death. Homosexuals die 25 years younger than heterosexuals.
Even if that were true.
And if that were not true, let's say homosexuals live longer than heterosexuals. If there were no God and there's only nature.
No. I think we're kind of going off the wrong path here. I'm simply asking, you said God looks at the heart.
Yes.
Okay. Many homosexuals aren't doing this because they want to anger God or that they want to be, evil or something. I mean, they love someone of the same sex.
Well,
if he's truly looking at the heart, then surely these people should also go to heaven.
Well, Reggie, you told us a little bit about yourself. Let me tell you a little bit about myself.
Sure.
I grew up where I was taught God created. I learned about evolution in school. I rejected the notion of Genesis. And in fact, I tried to rewrite the Bible. I actually started to rewrite the Bible, and I replaced all the myths with scientific evolution. And then I started to study the creationist argument, and I did a complete 180 and was convinced that life is so complex that God created. I became a Christian in high school, and I had grown up with pornography, not in my own home, but in my friends. My friend's father was a cop. He had porn videos.
What kids
that he
don't these days?
Yeah, right. And I'd babysit, and the homes were filled with pornography. And I was just, my life was became an addiction to sexual immorality. And I followed that, and I destroyed my life. I destroyed my life, my first marriage.
A shame.
Say that again?
That's a shame. I mean, too bad our society is so restrictive of sexual content. That's the problem.
Well, and I disagree.
Opinion, you made it such a taboo that you felt that you became lustful for it because you weren't exposed to it in a proper way.
Well, and I disagree. I think that when human beings have sex with multiple partners, it's inherently dangerous. And a young woman who ends up doing the basketball team because she's liberated, she is destroying her self-image. And a condom might protect her body.
Well, destroying her body, too, of course.
A condom might protect her body, although they fail 20% of the time or so over a year. But it can't protect her identity, her heart, her self-respect. So at any rate,
she cares about those things, but yeah, okay.
At any rate, not to get too far off the topic, yeah. Mm-hmm. I believe that just like I was carried away with sexual desires, mm-hmm. that homosexuals also are carried away with sexual desires that end up hurting them. And so that's a tangent off of the big question of, is there a God? But God says in the Bible, if the Bible is his word, that he made us male and female, and there are animals who will eat their young. And if we humans eat our young, I assert that that is wrong. It's immoral to kill your child and eat it because you don't want to go to the grocery store. And there are animals who will virtually gang rape a female of the species, but they're animals. And if human beings gang rape a female of the species, it's wrong. And there are animals that will have sex in front of their own children. And I submit that if human beings have sex in front of their own children, it's wrong. It's destructive. And there are animals who engage in homosexual behavior,
yes,
because they don't know better. They're animals. There's no female around. And they would relieve themselves against a couch or somebody's leg or another male animal. They're animals.
Well, that isn't, well, I understand what you're saying, but that has nothing to do with it. There are plenty of species of animals where there's plenty of females around, but they still choose to.
Well, no, I don't know about that. Like sheep, for example.
We've seen this in penguins. We've seen this
in
cats and dogs.
A sheep will get programmed into some other sheep because at the moment that he was in heat, there's this male sheep. And so, but at any rate.
Yes, of course, that's going to happen. Of course, yes. But
right.
I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about there are some. There was a penguin at a zoo.
At the zoo, yeah.
California, they're actually life mates. So
yeah,
just,
I realize that. That's because they get programmed into, here's how I relieve myself sexually. But if we want to say that homosexuals
Bob, some
animal are animals.
Painful.
Go, say again?
Some animals, for some mammal species, sex is actually painful. So I wouldn't say that that's necessarily the case, that just because it's pleasurable or something, that's why they continue to do the behavior.
See,
I'm pretty sure cat sex is pretty bad from what
I hear. Well, dolphins treat female dolphins pretty badly, but they're animals. And if somebody wanted to argue, well, homosexuals could eat their young because they're animals, I would say, well, you're missing the point that human beings are above animals. We're not animals. And we shouldn't mimic the behavior of animals, pigs and dogs, and then justify ourselves.
Okay. All right. You kind of lost me there, Bob. I don't really know where you're going with that one, but indeed, I mean, no one should. I don't think we should put moral put moral judgments on animals.
On animals, right? Because
animals,
now, if evolution, if the godless, atheistic evolutionary worldview is true, then those human beings who behave like animals, well, they're behaving like their ancestors, and when a fish eats another fish, that's not immoral. That's what animals do. And if a father kills his child because he doesn't want to have to feed him, then that is wrong, unless we're just atoms and molecules.
Well, you know, early humans did do such things.
Well, and that was wrong. Early humans murdered, kidnapped, raped.
Right. So we had to, but obviously, if it was given to us by God, or if we've known it innately. I don't know what your philosophy or theology is on that, but if we were to know that, then we would have been turning away from it. But instead, you see that in early human history that it was quite often to kill babies if they slowed the family down or the tribe down. And it seems like we had to evolve an understanding of what it means to be human and how we can get along in society and how we can better take care of ourselves without having to end life. We had to actually learn how to do that. That wasn't something that was taught to us by God.
You're approaching your argument from moral ignorance and your arguments about a conscience, and if there is a God, then everyone would know right from wrong, right?
That's why I said I don't really know what your theology is, so that's why it's difficult. But, I mean, some people believe, like Pastor Gene Cook, that God has given us
a
moral understanding
from
birth, and that we have this knowledge.
I do agree with that.
Okay.
I agree with that.
But
now,
the problem is, as we have more resources, as we learn more about human beings, as we learn more about each other, those morals seem to change. They evolve over time.
Okay.
So I don't understand why they would evolve if they were given to us. We just already know it. We would need to evolve better moral systems.
Okay, super. Let's address that. In fact, Reggie, like I said, you're getting at your argument from moral ignorance. That's your argument number 17, and your argument number 13 about the conscience. That's what we're talking about now.
Or really, maybe somebody else wrote that one. I'm not sure, but
I
haven't even numbered them. I don't even know where you are, but okay.
Okay, well, you have 22 arguments, and we just numbered them so that we could look at them and see what they're talking about. And when it's argued that, look, God did not put a conscience in human beings because we do things that are evil. People murder their children, and we disagree on right and wrong. That argument is a symptom of the omnis and the ims in Calvinism, because the omnis and the ims destroy free will. You can't have free will if everything is predetermined and the future is settled.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you don't have free will, then you get into all kinds of absurdities. When the future is not settled and we do have free will, then God tells us, don't murder the innocent. And we say, tough, I'm going to murder the innocent. And the Germans say, we're going to kill the Jews. That doesn't mean that God didn't put in their heart that murder is wrong. It means that they have free will to either accept or reject God's standard of righteousness. So let me give you an example.
I don't know if that's necessarily true.
Well, let me give you an example. Three people, and you'll be the third one, okay? First, take a hardened criminal like the murderous leader of a drug cartel. He objects. He doesn't care about right and wrong, but he objects if another man steals from him or tries to murder him or bears false witness against him or commits adultery with his woman. He gets upset. So that the conscience that God put in our hearts, knowing the difference between right and wrong, can typically be discerned even in a sociopath like Adolf Hitler. You try to wrong Hitler, and he knows it right away, and he objects. So those are the first two. I'll take an example from you.
Okay, yes.
Atheists like to exaggerate the degrees to which human beings disagree on right and wrong.
No, I mean, I don't know why you would say atheist. I mean, I agree that because, again, for me, it's something that we're continuing to learn.
Well,
as technology increases, the more ways we learn to preserve human beings and the more resources we have, or the better access to resources we have, we begin to look at things a little differently.
Well, in the last 100 years, governments have slaughtered, if you look at socialist communist governments like the National Socialists, the Nazis, the Soviet Union, China, and so on, they've slaughtered about 100 million people. So it's hard to say that...
Well, it could be argued there was never really any true socialism because we didn't have the capital or the resources to form such a thing.
Well, let's say those governments led by people whose ideal were socialism and communism, they, in the last century, they slaughtered about 100 million people, met violent deaths because of them. And so it's hard to say, look, human beings have become more civilized over time. I'm asserting that...
Well, yeah, that's true. I think that's actually true.
Okay, I'm asserting that human beings have free will, and so they can ignore or reject the conscience that God put in their hearts, but the most hardened atheist I know of objects, and I'm sure you could be included in this.
I got an analogy for you that's probably going to blow you out of the water, but go ahead.
All right, I'll finish the sentence, and then we'll hear your analogy. you would object if I steal from you or lie about you or try to kill you. So I would say you protesteth too much when you claim that God has not revealed to mankind right from wrong. You know right from wrong. So does Adolf Hitler.
Okay, well, fine. So since we're going to talk about, so obviously you believe that there are certain things that are absolutely right or wrong, and we know them. We should know what they are.
God is put in our conscience, do not steal,
right.
do not murder.
Right, so we just turn from it.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do you explain, then, isolated South American cultures, African cultures, who walk around completely naked and unashamed?
Yeah.
Is it moral for us to walk around naked, or is it immoral to walk around naked?
God created us to be naked. He created us in that way.
Okay.
And there was nothing to be ashamed of. And then when we rebelled against God, God made us in such a way that when we became guilty, we would be ashamed of what we have become. We're ashamed.
Wait a minute. Okay, you said what we have become. Right now we're talking about nudity.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm getting directly there. I know your question.
Okay.
Well, let me go about it a different way. Maybe you hang with me better.
Sure.
Dirty jokes wouldn't work with dogs or horses because they relieve themselves in front of anybody who's standing around, and they have sex in front of anybody who's standing around.
Mm-hmm.
The reason dirty jokes work, like Bill Maher, ABC, I've been on his show four times or so. The reason dirty jokes work for human beings is because we have a part of ourselves that is not just our body. If you only have your body, it's hard to have a perspective from which you could be embarrassed of your body. But we have a soul and a spirit. And our spirit, a higher nature, can look at our base body functions, like relieving ourselves, and we could think of it as a bit gross.
No, it's going to be taught to us, that's all.
Well, if you might think that teaching your children that we defecate in front of one another in the living room, we move the porta potty into the living room while we're watching TV, we defecate, and you might think that's proof of our higher human ability to be materialistic.
I mean, you're ignoring history, I think, in some way. I'm not an expert, but yeah. I do know that there have been cultures in the past who pretty much would urinate and defecate wherever they felt like it.
But we had to learn, Bob, over time,
how that disrupts our environment.
Okay.
It wasn't like it was something we knew innately.
I'm agreeing that there are cultures. In fact, I have friends who are missionaries, gone to Africa, where the culture was women were topless. And here's what happens. You could have a culture in America where young girls now in high school, they will have their boyfriends will insist, I'm a player. I'm not going to date you unless you're putting out. In fact, I expect you to put out for three or four guys at a time.
Oh, my gosh.
Including for my friends. So that the culture is very influential. And people could be coerced to do things they wouldn't do if they had a healthy self-image and good self-respect and a moral foundation. They could become child molesters by the influence of the culture with the concurrence of their own free will. So, yeah, women will go around topless, and then Christian missionaries come in,
mm-hmm.
and they teach them about modesty and self-respect, and they very quickly take up that modesty and they clothe themselves, and then you try to get them 2 years later to lift up their shirt at a meeting, those women are not going to want to lift up their shirt because God has put in us.
I don't think so.
You think you could go to Africa now?
I think they've been hanging. Well, of course, if you hang around a culture or if you're surrounded by individuals who think as you do, you kind of start adopting some of those traits.
I agree completely. And so that argument, you should realize, affects your argument about nudity.
No.
And so, well, it has to, because the culture begins to affect the individuals and they go along with it. If the culture is killing Jews, they go along with it. If the culture is having sex with kids, there are some people who grow up in a pedophile culture,
right,
with NAMBLA.
Right, and then there's the issue of whether or not it's right or wrong, and how do we know it?
Right now, I don't think you
haven't shown me that why it would be wrong.
Well, first, if we both could agree that free will means that I could violate a conscience instilled in me. That's what free will means. When I debate atheists, and they're denying that there is a conscience in mankind, that goes along with, even if it's not stated, a denial of free will. They act as though if we had a conscience, we would be compelled to obey it. But that denies free will.
Well, I think, well, I don't usually when I debate an atheist, these generalizations are really intriguing.
Well, Reggie, it's happening right
everyone
now.
Everyone I've talked to pretty much understand that they have personal reflection. You know, that alone kind of gives an idea, leads to, you know, their own personal conscience. I mean, I think we all have that. We all have it, definitely. Now, again, we could still argue whether or not it's free or determined, but we'd still have it.
Well,
even if it's determined, we'd still have it. The illusion would be that it's free, but we'd still have the same feelings and same emotions.
Are you talking about the way we behave?
Right now, I'm just talking about the way we reflect on behavior, or possible or potential or possible behavior.
And the way we reflect is an expression of our free will.
But also memories of our culture and what has been passed down to us, and some reason as well.
Right. We have conditioning that comes in from our culture, and ultimately, it's our will that either accepts or rejects our culture. And so the argument that because there's evil in the world, that's proof that God has not revealed a moral standard.
No.
That
to me, I still don't see anything wrong with public nudity. I don't see anything wrong with that. Now, society has dictated to me that I need to cover up, and so therefore I'm taught that, so it's ingrained in me to not do that. But it's the other way around. It's not like there's something ingrained in me that says I should not do this.
Okay. Dirty jokes don't work with animals.
Right.
They wouldn't work because they don't have any perspective from which to view their base bodily functions and be ashamed.
Of course.
Now, you have Hollywood actors and actresses who brag about nudity and they'll appear nude in movies.
There you go.
But yet, in their lives, generally, even nudists who are nude frequently, they don't. It would be a lot cheaper to get a big hall and put cots and just not have separate rooms to procreate for sex. Don't have separate rooms for bathrooms. That's all unnecessary. Just defecate in front of one another. Just the man and woman pair up and have sex in front of one another. But even the most liberal among us don't do that. And they could. Why? There's no moral standard stopping them.
It's because we are intelligent enough to understand. We use reason. We know that they probably wouldn't comprehend or understand what's going on, and we could damage them in the process.
That's why. Okay, well, how about just all adults? Just all adults, and we are liberated. And so I have my wife, and we're not going to have private domiciles because that's old fashioned and it costs too much. So we're just going to have sex in front of one another, and we're going to
in front of other adults. Again, I mean, if we're all consenting, you think it's okay? I don't see the problem.
I'm not saying whether there's a problem. I'm asserting that they don't do it. The most liberated people in the world don't defecate in front of one another and have sex in front of one another.
Well, actually, it could be argued that the most liberated people actually do stuff
you take the millions of people who throw off Christian morality and they say there's nothing wrong with human nudity, just like you.
There is nothing wrong with it, Bob. Let me just tell you, Bob. This is what I think. I don't have any evidence or proof, but this makes sense to me. And I think a lot of the listeners would agree. This kind of makes more sense. Then again, depending upon their perspective. But we're basically talking about two issues here, I think. I keep seeing coming up when this happens. We're basically talking about this patriarchal society who look at women as property.
You think the men made the rules?
And then there's their own, of course.
You call it patriarchal.
Of course.
Okay,
the men made the
rules.
One's own feelings of inadequacy, which may be culturally driven, as you mentioned earlier, about what Hollywood images have given us and things of that nature. And if we go all the way back in time, we see some of those same type of standards. There's a standard of beauty. Certain princes and men and kings and men of power were attracted to a particular type of women. And then also environment. That's the third one. That's the third option. And environment had a lot to do with whether or not we wore things or not. So you have those three things combined is the reason why we wear clothes today. It's just not something we just realize, I ate some fruit. Oh, I'm naked. I'm ashamed. No, that doesn't make sense. And then especially when you think about it, it was just Adam and Eve there and God.
All right.
But if God is like this great parent, why would they be ashamed of themselves? I mean, just like my children aren't unashamed if I see them nude. So
that's true. If you're giving them a bath or whatever, right. Okay.
So there should be nothing really wrong with being nude in the first place. I think it's just culturally driven because of, again, clothing, and we have this feeling of property that that's mine, and also feelings of maybe personal inadequacy because of the evolution of imagery of
okay.
what humans should look like as far as beauty. And
okay.
I think that's where it comes from. That's pretty much it. That's
so the things you just brought up, I have four responses I think I could do real quickly.
Mm-hmm.
That patriarchal, that men made the rules, I think I could demonstrate to the audience.
Well, not as in general, but just
yeah, just as a generalization.
Patriarchal in, or shall I say, men dominated the way their women, the way they wanted their women to look. So they set the rules because of feelings of personal property.
Okay.
They felt like this was my woman, and she's going to look the way I want her to look. And he didn't want other men seeing his woman. You see this even in Islamic society today.
All right. Well, Christian morality is that you only get to have sex with one woman after a lifelong commitment is made.
Not necessarily.
That's Christian morality.
Well, okay. You got a few questions to ask you if that's true, but okay.
Well, I know that there are all kinds of Christians who are immoral, but the moral standard, that's the rule.
Why is that the rule, and why is that the moral standard, though? Just because the Bible says it?
Reggie, if I can't even make a statement
I'm
without
sorry,
you challenging.
I'm sorry, but no. you know how these conversations can go sometimes, you know?
Yeah, okay, and that's fine. And
I'll just take notes.
And I love a robust debate, and I'd rather encourage you to do that than not. But if we had a patriarchal society, if men made the rules, then I think the rule would be like this. You could have sex with any woman you could get your hands on at any place at any time. That's the way the rules would be made if it were patriarchal, if men made the rules. But the reality is the opposite. The rules are made to protect women, that if you want to have sex with a woman, you have to make a lifelong commitment to care and provide for her and be faithful to her. That's the rules that men would never make, but that benefit women. That rule goes against the human male nature to have sex with any good woman he sees.
I don't think so. I think what's happened here, Bob, is that over time, women gain more independence and more power over time, probably because they began to influence their husbands in some way. Who knows how they did that? I don't know. I have to look at it. I'd have to research that in detail.
Well, as the economy improves, women naturally get more influence and authority.
I'd probably say also education. The more educated we are, we begin to realize that women probably are more like our equals than we realize the more potential
yeah.
that women have.
And we get more educated
so
as the economy
in
improves.
The past, again, this backs me up here. In the past, there's plenty of biblical stories where patriarchs had multiple wives.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The wisest man, King Solomon, right, had, 600 wives and 300 concubines or vice versa?
Yeah, right. And that was evil. God warned, don't do that, and he did that, and he utterly turned against God, right? The Bible says how evil King Solomon was. Stop the tape. Hi, Bob Benyard here. I hope you are enjoying my discussion with atheist Reginald Finley. We actually debated for 4 hours this past week, and we can't air all that, but we're putting it all on a single CD, an MP3 CD. Bob Benyard debates atheist Reginald Finley. You could get that from us by calling us at 1-800-8-NYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. Eventually, we'll put it on our website at KGOV. That's KGOV.com. So please tune in tomorrow. We have a great show with the president of American Life League, Judy Brown. And in Arvada, Colorado, Maranatha Christian Center. What a great school, Maranatha. Check them out, and may God bless you all.